to conclude a day than by gathering ourselves together to worship God, to gather and to sing these beautiful songs, to go to God in prayer, and to have the opportunity to consider some things from God's Word. We are a very fortunate people, and we need to be very thankful to God that we enjoy such freedoms and such blessings that we can assemble as we are here today without fear and to be able to worship in its fullness. And we're very grateful for that, and we should be grateful for that. This evening, I'd like to talk to you about the idea of being spiritual. You know, I found it interesting that the idea of spirituality seems like it's kind of taken a rough road, if you want to put it that way. But there are just some real strange views about the idea of being spiritual. When we think about the term spiritual, we think about the term spiritual in the sense of that it is focused towards God. It is focused in religion, that type of thing. But yet there are those who argue that you do not have to be religious to be spiritual. In fact, some would argue that the boundaries of religion really hinders and really causes spirituality to not flourish and grow like it should. In fact, I run across an article that I thought was kind of interesting. It says, or the title is, "What Does It Mean to be a Spiritual Person?" What then does it mean to be a spiritual person? Being a spiritual person is synonymous with being a person whose highest priority is to be loving to yourself and others. A spiritual person cares about people, animals, and the planet. A spiritual person knows that we are all one and conscientiously attempts to honor this oneness. A spiritual person is a kind of person. So you can go to church every Sunday and say your prayers every day without caring about loving yourself, others, and the planet. You can practice yoga and meditate every day without being conscientious of what is loving and what is not loving in your thoughts and actions. You can belong to a spiritual group and devoutly follow the teachings, yet still be judgmental toward yourself and others in your daily life. There are many people who do not practice a religion, who do not meditate, pray, or belong to any group, who are very spiritual people. These people naturally do caring things for others. They think about how they can help. Their thoughts are kind rather than judgmental toward themselves and toward others. When you look at them, you see kindness in their eyes. Now, I don't know about you, but I thought that was interesting. An interesting sort of perspective on the modern thought of spirituality is that spirituality is not harnessed by the world's view to any sort of religion or any sort of deity or any sort of being, if you will, is that it is just a connecting. It is just a focus of love and not only for yourself but for other people, that type of thing. And so I ask you tonight, are you spiritual? But before you answer that, we need to look at another perspective of spirituality. And that is not the rainbows and the roses and all that kind of thing that we might consider with the world and their view, but the Bible's view. Just one passage I want us to look at, and that's in Galatians 6, beginning of verse 1. When Paul says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." Now, certainly when we look at this passage, we recognize that here are those who care about other people. Here are those also who even care about themselves, for they not think of himself something when he is nothing, or as you look at considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so here is someone who looks and evaluates and considers themselves, and he also considers someone else, this one that is overtaken in a trespass. But notice there's something unique about these who are spiritual. That there is something that they certainly love themselves, they certainly love others, but there's something that they're connected to that gives them the boundaries, that gives them the focus of their spirituality. And you notice that's also highlighted here, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we look at the Bible and its teaching about spirituality and what spirituality is that it is focused, it is rooted in that objective standard of the Word of God. It is focused upon God. And therefore it flows from God, from the truth of God, and therefore accomplishes all the things that God would desire it to accomplish. And so tonight I want us to take a different approach by asking us about our spirituality and just how spiritual we really are. Because as we think about this question, it occurred to me that when we ask this question, there are some things that we are not asking. The first thing that we're not asking when we ask about how spiritual are we is, do you have good morals and ethics? Now please don't misunderstand me. Morals and ethics are very essential, are very important, are very valuable to us being who and what God would have us to be. But I want to suggest to you that just morals and ethics is not enough for us to be what God would have us to be. And I might ask the question, well, how do I know that? Well, it was a statement that Jesus made in Luke chapter 18 when he told a parable of two men who went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other one was a publican. And you remember the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, give tithes of all that I possess. Now here is a fella in all practical purposes, is that here is a good fella. Here is a moral, ethical individual. Is that he does not defraud people. He is not unfair. He's not unjust. He has not committed adultery. He is not like this tax collector, he says. He is a fast twice a week. He's very devout in the things that he does. He gives tithes of all that he possesses. He's very generous and he pulls into consideration all of these things. And so we look at this fellow and we think, here in many respects is a good moral person. But remember how this story turned out. Is that here this Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, I thank you that I'm not like all these other people. Here's all my credentials, by the way, God. And the tax collector would not so much lift his eyes, but beat himself on the breast. And we know that Jesus says that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. That even though this Pharisee had all these moral things about him, he was not what he needed to be. And it occurred to me that just because someone may be a moral, ethical person does not mean within itself that they are what God would have them to be. Now please don't misunderstand me. It's very important, but it's bigger than that. We'll see that here in a minute. Let me also suggest to you what it's not. Do you love and care for your family? And sometimes people look at this and they think, you know, here's just this great guy, or here's this great gal. They are just so moral and they're just so ethical, while they're just as honest as the day is long, and they just love their family. They're so devoted to their family. But I want to suggest to you, just because someone loves and cares for their family does not mean within itself that they are spiritual. And again, I ask the question, how do I know that? Because of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is talking about appealing unto the Father, and the Father granting, if you will, and how that Jesus gives us some object lessons to look at. And he says, if a son was to ask a father for bread, would he give him a rock? And if he was to ask for a fish, would he give him a snake? And he says in verse 12, or if he asked an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? But notice in verse 13, Jesus says, If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so here Jesus talks about, here's people that he just kind of laying out an object lesson. In any of us, if our children was to come to us and ask us for something to eat, we're not going to throw them a handful of gravel. Or we're not going to throw them a scorpion or something like that that's going to harm them or hurt them. We're going to take care of them. We're going to provide for them the best that we can. And here Jesus uses that object lesson. It says, you know, here this son who asks his father, and his father's going to provide for his son. He's going to give him the things that he needs to sustain him. But notice that Jesus referred to them, if you then being evil. If you are not what God would have you to be, but yet you still do good things. And so I learned from that just to love and care for my family within itself does not mean that I am what God wants me to be. I am not spiritual. Let me suggest also to you, what we're not asking is, do you express kindness to your fellow man? Now, one of the things that they pointed out in that article is that you love yourself and you love your neighbor and all that type of thing. But I want to suggest to you again that just because we're good to people, just because we're kind, and just because we are generous, and just because we have that good word and all that kind of thing, does not mean within itself that we are what God would have us to be, that we're spiritual. Again, how do I know that? Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Here are these people who are going out, and they are doing their charitable deeds. They are doing their kind deeds to other people, but yet, again, there's something that's wrong here. And that is the motivating factor that's behind it. And so just because they do it, just because they're kind, just because they're generous, does not mean they are what God would have them to be. Because Jesus even says here that, you know, they're not going to receive anything of the Father. They have the reward. You want praise of men? That's exactly what they've got. And that's all they'll get. And so just to be good and express kindness to people does not mean within itself that I am what God would have me to be. Well, let's look at another. We're not asking, do you work hard? Or are you a good manager? And again, you look at this list as it builds, and you look at the kind of person that this is describing. Is that here is what many of us refer to as a hardworking, God-fearing individual. But yet, you know, when you think about hard work and managing, well, just within itself is not a definition of spirituality. Again, how do I know that? In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a story that is referred to as the parable of the rich fool. And remember, in this story, he has a record crop, if you will. And he has so much that he's determined that what he's going to do is, his barns are not big enough. So he's going to tear down his barns and he's going to build bigger barns. And therefore, his conclusion is, I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool. You know, one of the things that's impressed me about this story of the parable of the rich fool is that here he has all of this that he has brought in from his crops. But there does not seem to be any indication in the story that he has done anything underhanded, that he has somehow went over into his neighbor's fields, that he has somehow stole some of their crop or some of their seed corn or anything of that nature. It just appears in this story that here's a fellow who has worked hard, who has had a very successful year. But the problem is, as God said, or as Jesus explains to this man who says, "Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He is extremely successful. But God says to him, "Fool." And so just because I work hard, and just because I'm a good manager, that I'm a good steward of what I've been blessed with, does not mean within itself that I am spiritual. Let me give you one more. We're not asking, do you attend the services of the church? Just because I'm standing behind this pulpit, and just because you are sitting in that pew, does not necessarily mean within itself that we are what God would have us to be. Now, I know that that might be a little shocking to some people, but it's just the truth. Is that just because we are here Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, and just because we participate, just because we take a part, and just because we are here, does not mean in itself that we are what God wants us to be. Because you remember Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, says, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And we are to challenge ourselves and ask ourselves some very, very stark questions. Because when you look at this list, what do you see? Is that in many respects you see a lot of your neighbors, a lot of your friends, a lot of your family. Is that they're good, moral, ethical people. They're people who love their family, who care for their family. They work hard. They go to a church all the time. They're right there. But I'm going to tell you, just because those things are there does not mean within itself that they're what God needs them to be or wants them to be. And just because we might look at this list and say, "Well, that's me," that does not mean within itself that we are what God wants us to be. You see, when we ask the question, "How spiritual are you?" And we can certainly look at the things that the question is not asking, but we also need to look at what the question is asking. What is this question, "How spiritual am I?" What is it demanding of me? Well, we know about just being an ethical person, a good hard worker, loving our family and managing and all that kind of thing, and going to church does not necessarily mean within itself that I am what God would have me to be. So what does mean that I am what God would have me to be? The first thing I would suggest to you is, how much do you long for God? And what I mean by that is, how much time do you spend thinking about God? And I'm not talking about going over and sitting somewhere and just, you know, stopping everything and just concentrating on God. I'm not necessarily talking about that. That's good. But I'm talking about driving down the road. I'm talking about cutting the grass. I'm talking about washing the dishes. I'm talking about walking out and down, taking a walk in one of the local tracks or down your street or wherever it's at. It's just out and about. It's just your daily routine. It's just going about your daily activities. How often do you think of God throughout the day? Do you think of God when you drive and see the sunset or the sunrise or the beauty of a rainbow or whatever nature might lay out in front of you? Do you stop and think, "Look at the handiwork of God"? Do you think of God when you find yourself in I don't know, maybe some difficulties? And you may find yourself, you know, faced with some challenges in life. Do you think about God? More often than not, that's when we do. But what about when all the times are good? What about when you got plenty of money in the bank? Transmission's fixed in the car. Just got your brand new washer and dryer. Everything's looking good. Everything's up. You're riding high. Do we think about God? How much does God just saturate our mind and saturate our every activity through the day? Do we constantly find ourselves thinking about God to some shape, form, or fashion? Because you see, as Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 27, so he answered and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbors yourself. Well, actually, this is the rich young ruler, but nonetheless, he states, and Jesus says, you have answered well. But this is where it's at. To love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, and with all of our mind. And that is to love God with absolutely every fiber of our being. And that there is nothing that is to take the place where God must sit. Is that He must be number one in our lives. And if we're ever going to be spiritual, in the sense that the Bible defines spirituality, is that we're going to have to be a people who are absolutely dedicated and committed and have a mind that is constantly focusing upon God. What this question is also asking is, how much does God's Word mean to you? You know, we live in a society where the Bible, as we talked about a little bit this morning, is just handled so recklessly. Sometimes people, it's just a place to hide a little extra cash. It's kind of where we put the birth certificates or the insurance policies or something, and that way we just won't lose them. Is that a lot of times the Bible is just something that's jerked out when we know that the elders are coming over or the preacher's coming over. Or somebody that we go to church with just need to make sure that they see that Bible laying there. Could that be what describes us? Or are we a people, as we talked about thinking about God, that we're constantly thinking about the Word of God? And you know, when you think about study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that most certainly talks about that we need to be sitting down and we need to be reading and we need to be looking context and topical and all the rest of it. But I'm going to tell you something. You can do a whole lot of studying just driving down the road or cutting your grass. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you may go out Monday morning and you may start cutting your grass, or you may be driving to work. And do you think about the Bible study? Do you think about the sermons that you have heard? Do you think about a point, maybe not the whole lesson, just a point that was brought out? And you just meditate and you think about that verse and what that verse means and how that relates to you and what that does to you. What challenges that it issues to you, as well as what comforts that it provides. I'm going to tell you, we need to be constantly having our mind centered on God's Word. Because just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, when he was tempted of the devil, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Does the Bible mean that much to us? That it means as much or more to us than the very sustenance of our life? That God and His Word, it takes top priority in everything that I am and everything that I'm about. You see, when we ask these questions, this is what kind of questions we're asking. Well, we're also asking, how much time do you spend in prayer to God? I seen a study one time that the average Christian spends about 7 minutes a day in prayer. And I thought, wow. 7 minutes. But ask yourself, I'm not going to ask a show of hands or anybody to get up and say anything, but ask yourself a question. How often do you pray? How often do you appeal unto God, as we talked about thinking about God, and just thanking Him for the beauty of the creation in which we live? thanking Him for the health and life and strength that you have, thanking Him for the many provisions that you have, thanking Him for your spouse, thanking Him for your children, thanking Him for your grandchildren, thanking Him for your parents, thanking Him for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, thanking Him for these elders, thanking Him for these deacons, thanking Him for these preachers, thanking Him for each and every one. No matter how great or no matter how insignificant that one may view themselves, every single one is so valuable and so important. And are we thanking God the way that we should be? How much time has prayer become like a laundry list? Our Father in heaven, I need this, and I need that, and I need that over there, and I need a few of them. And by the way, while you're at it, give me a few of these over here. And now that we're kind of into this, bless Brother So-and-so who's not been feeling too well here lately. Is that the kind of the way our prayers are? It's just a laundry list. Lord, do this and this and this and this. Brethren, I hope not. I hope our prayers are exactly what God wants them to be. As Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret will reward you openly. Why did I choose this passage? Because prayer, yes, we have public prayers and all of that. But what I'm talking about is us as individuals, is that prayer is a very private thing. Is that it is something that I do and I go to my God and nobody knows what I say except God. And Jesus says, you go to your room. Is that prayer is a very personal thing. It's a very private thing. It's a very sacred thing. And it needs to be viewed that way. And it needs to be practiced that way. And it needs to be respected that way. Is that it is an opportunity that I have as a child of God to come into the very throne room of God and to express not only my thanksgiving and my praise of Him, but the concerns and the turmoil and the trials and tribulations that I'm going through in my own life, as well as on my appeal on behalf of my brothers or my family or my sisters, whoever it may be. It is a time that I can express my heart unto God. And how active are we in that? Do we seek those opportunities to pray? Well, what we're asking is, how often do you take an honest look at yourself? Now, I'm going to tell you, you can look at me, and you can dissect me, and you can tear me apart in just a few minutes. And you'll have plenty to work with. That's just the way it is, isn't it? And it's easy for this aisle to look at that aisle, and that aisle to look at that aisle, and just go to work. But I'm going to tell you, when you get that old mirror of truth out, and you look at that and you look at yourself, that's not an easy thing to do. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? How often do we truly take that honest look at ourselves and ask ourselves some very pertinent and important questions? Am I a person who is truly committed? And when I come to worship, do I really put in to the worship what I should? And I go out and I leave here and I go to my work or I go home or wherever it is I go, do I really strive to live as a Christian? Or do my priorities tend to change just a little bit? Does my priorities in my language, does my priorities in my dress, does my priorities in the way that I may entertain myself or whatever it is, does all that kind of change a little bit than when I'm away from my brethren? Or am I constantly looking at myself and examining myself and trying to keep myself where God would have me to be? Well, the last and final one is, how ready are you to be obedient to God? You see, we can examine ourselves and we can say, well, I need to change there, and I need to change there, and I need to stop this, and I need to do a little better here, and need to do a little better there. But see, we can make that little list, but what about putting it into practice? What about actually doing these things? Remember Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, beginning says, "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart." From the heart. From the heart. You obeyed from the heart. It is something that you genuinely and earnestly done, not because it was appropriate, not because of the circumstances, not because of all these things that may have extenuating circumstances around us, but you have obeyed from your heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin. You see, when we obey God from the heart, then the blessings and the promises that God has given us, we are the recipients of it. Whether it's the forgiveness of our sins and our obedience to the gospel, or whether it's the forgiveness of our sins and our repenting of sin in our life, is that we are recipients of the blessings that God gives us when we submit to Him, when we obey Him. And so, when we look at this question, how spiritual are you? You see, we're not asking, do you have good morals and ethics? We're not asking, do you love and care for your family? We're not asking, do you express kindness to your fellow man? We're not asking, do you work hard and are a good manager? We're not asking, do you attend the services of the church? You see, what we're asking is that how much do you long for God? How much does God's Word mean to you? How much time do you spend in prayer to God? How often do you take an honest look at yourself? And how ready are you to be obedient unto God, no matter what the cost may be? Because you see something? See this red column? You can have that without this. You can be every bit of this and not this. Now think about that for a minute. You can be all of that. Fine, upstanding citizen in the community. But you can be absent of every bit of that right there. And so that's one of the hard things. That's one of the tough things when we're dealing with people, is that they look at people and say, well, look what a good person they are. Look at all these good qualities. Look what an honorable person they are. Well, okay, what an honorable person they are, but where did God fit into it? You see, you can have this without this. But you see, if you've got this, this is a natural outflow of it. Because you see, when we do this, when we're striving to be what God wants us to be, we are going to have good morals and ethics. When we're striving to be what God wants us to be, we are going to love and care for our family. If we're striving to be what God wants us to be, we are going to express kindness to our fellow man. If we're striving to be what God wants us to be, we're going to work hard and we're going to manage and be good stewards of what God's given us. And if we are desiring to be what God wants us to be, we're going to be at the services of the church. And we're going to live the life that He wants us to live. But you see, as I said before, you can have this without this. But if you focus on this, all of this is a natural outflow. That's just the fruit that'll be produced in your life. And so again, I ask you this evening, how spiritual are you? Uh-oh, sorry about that. How spiritual are you? If you're here and you never obeyed the gospel, then we certainly want to extend that invitation to you. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you're ready to repent of your life in this world, if you would stand and confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with Him in the water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins, everything's ready. And I'm sure that that could be taken care of very quickly. As a Christian, if you've not been what you ought to be, if you have maybe lived in the red column, but maybe really just not focused on the green, then you need to make that right. If we can help you in some way, please let it be known while we stand, while we sing. Where's my-